In this month's podcast, I talked to Michael Collins, one of the world's most in-demand clarinetists, who is appearing with the CBSO in October, playing one of the most popular concertos in the entire repertoire, the Mozart Clarinet Concerto. Michael also talks about how the piece still presents a challenge technically, how he got to study Mozart's original manuscript of the piece, and about his work with living composers, especially John Adams, whose phenomenally tricky concerto for Mike arrived by fax only 2 days before the premiere. Also this month, we start a new feature as the critic and writer Fiona Maddox casts her eye across the CBSO brochure, picks her favourite concert from each month, and tells us why. Stephen Johnson talks about the composer Kurt Weill and his most famous work with Bertolt Brecht, the Threepenny Opera, ahead of a performance of the suite from the opera on the 8th of October. And I'll be announcing the winner of last month's competition. Like so many prominent British musicians of the last 30 years, clarinetist Michael Collins first made a name for himself in the BBC Young Musician of the Year competition. In fact, Michael was a finalist in the very first competition back in 1978 when he was just 16. Collins quickly entered the profession and subsequently became principal clarinet in the Philharmonia Orchestra and a member of those powerhouse chamber ensembles, the London Sinfonietta and the Nash Ensemble. A successful solo career began to emerge, and it wasn't too long before he was pretty much the most in-demand clarinet soloist in the world. On the 2nd and 3rd of October, Michael plays the Mozart Clarinet Concerto with the CBSO in Birmingham and Malvern. So I caught up with Michael at his home in Surrey to talk about this extremely popular work.
I'm often asked, you must have played it lots of times. The answer is yes. In Mozart's year, was it a couple of years ago or something? Played it 22 times in 1 month, month of January, but with different orchestras, starting off with the Leipzig Gewandhaus, and then with the Academy of St. Martin's, and then over in Holland. So all these different orchestras. Now, challenge number one, pitch. So you're dealing with different pitch orchestras. In Leipzig, 4-4-5, the concert A pitched at 4-4-5, and then in London at 4-4-40. So you need an instrument that's going to be flexible enough to deal with all these problems. Now,
just one. You don't use lots of different.
No, I use one instrument, and of course, I play the Mozart on a modern copy of the original Bassett clarinet, which is slightly longer than normal clarinet. So you've got some extra notes down the bottom. So you know that's challenge number one. You could play at the right pitch with one instrument with all these different orchestras. So that's my answer. Yes, that keeps me fresh because it feels like a different piece each time I play. But I must say, it's a piece of perfection from the beginning to end. And it's something, I must say, how can you tire of it? How? Even when I'm driving along in the car on Classic FM and I hear it, I want to pull over and actually just listen. I must listen to it. It doesn't matter who's playing it. And I have certain views about that, of course, because I've got my own way.
Of course.
It doesn't matter who's playing it. I just have to listen to it because it's a work of great beauty.
It's a different way of concerto playing, though, than, say, something like, I don't know, to take, for example, Elliot Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Or any number of other concertos that are a bit more about acrobatics. There are no acrobatics in or are there?
It's one of the technically one of the most demanding works. Still. Now, why? And you think, well, we've got Weber concertos and Spohr concertos, which are the sort of Paganini equivalent of a clarinet. They require real pyrotechnics. But the Mozart, you need such a clean technique. Every single note matters, and it really does matter. One note slightly out of place, and you're going to have 3,000 people in the audience going, ooh! If you do that with another piece, you can get away with it somehow, but it's a piece of technical perfection, and it is technically difficult still, even with techniques have gone they've got better and better and better over the years, but you know it's still hard to play. Don't know why. maybe that's the reason we are scared of the piece.
Is there a temptation because it's so popular and so well known to tweak it a little bit, to actually try and do something slightly new? I don't quite know what that would be.
No,
you know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. And I think it is to very tempting, particularly with the... I'm not into the original instrument movement, but I listen to it, so I know exactly what they're getting at and what they're trying to do with music of that period. And it is all too easy to start going down the path and, oh, a little twiddle here. Let's try ornamenting this phrase. Oh, yeah, that worked. And before you realise, you start changing. I mean, you can change the piece completely. And I'm guilty of it. I have done it, and I've listened back on the radio after I've done a performance that, that was too much. Yeah. I'll then go back to just playing it as it's written. And I must say, I'll tell you quickly, I had a fantastic experience early this year. I saw the original manuscript, which is... I was playing a Mozart in Switzerland, in a city called Winterthur near Zurich, and the manager of the orchestra said, oh, have you seen the manuscript? I said, no. I said, where is it? I said, it's in the front of house. I went out, and there it was in a glass case. No guards, no lock and key, just in a glass case. And they took it out, and I put my white gloves on. I was able to look through it. Because they were actually putting it underground for the next 10 years to... also to preserve it. It's getting a little worn after a couple of hundred years.
And it actually is in his hand.
Oh, yeah. It's not a copy. Oh, yeah. No, it's the original.
What do you learn from seeing that up close?
How I learned how much is left of the performer. Yeah. So.
Do you mean in dynamics and phrasing?
Yes. Articulation. There'll be the odd piano, the odd forte, just as a sort of reminder, if you like. But otherwise... it's just left to the... And that was good for me. Mm. It gave me great confidence to think, well, actually, then I am free to interpret this piece the way I want to as a performer without... You know, because so many pieces, whether even looking at Beethoven or Brahms, if all the nuances are there and you have to follow them if you're going to be faithful to the score. But with the Mozart, it is left to the performer. And I think that's why we hear probably so many different interpretations of the Mozart, incredibly different when it comes to articulation, dynamics, and ornaments. Maybe that's why the piece comes up so fresh every time.
Well, even though you got nice and close to the original manuscript from Mozart, of course, when you commission a work, you have the advantage of a real live composer to work with.
Yeah.
That must be a new and exciting challenge each time it's presented to you.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's wonderful. And when I've asked composers to write, I've had some really interesting responses. one in particular was John Adams. I asked him for quite a while if he would write a concerto. And
he's a busy man,
and he was very busy. Yes, he kept saying he was very busy. I'm very busy, and no was the answer. Oh, drat! Because you know he played the clarinet.
Yes,
and I thought he would just write something really good for the instrument. Out of the blue, he said, "Yeah, I'm ready. I'll write one." So the performance was planned in London with the London Sinfonietta with John Adams conducting. And a week before the performance, I still didn't have the music. And as far as I was concerned, he told me it was going to be a one movement, 10 to 12 minute piece. Yeah, one movement. And I phoned him about 3 days before the performance. So it was like a day before the rehearsal, before he was coming over to England, just to say, you know, is there a part? Are you bringing it with you? He said, oh, yeah, I'll fax it through. So switched on my fax and it came through. One movement. It didn't stop. Suddenly came a second movement. And then it didn't stop there. And then a third movement. So it turned into a 30-minute, three-movement concerto.
This is Gnarly Buttons.
Gnarly Buttons, yeah. And so 3 days before the concert, I had to learn this rather difficult piece. You know. And I didn't have a say... style or the kind of technical content or right. What have you. So that's the challenge. And
a bit of a, it's almost a compliment, isn't it? Because yeah. He presumably had utter confidence in your abilities able to pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. But he said he knew my personality, he knew my clarinet playing very well. So he just wrote... He said he wanted to write something that was going to be a challenge for me and probably I would find difficult.
Mm.
Yes, I did find difficult, certainly 3 days before the concert.
It's probably the best known of the concertos you've commissioned.
Yes, isn't it? I think so. Yeah. I think so. I've done... Well, actually, there's another one by Mark Anthony Turnage, which...
Is that Riffs and Refrains?
Riffs and Refrains, yeah, which I'm hoping will get more outings. It's a very dense work, I mean, heavily scored, and it's tricky to bring off because you know, the clarinet is really fighting against a big orchestra. And it's going to be good. And another one that I adore, and I think when it reaches these shores properly, it's going to take off in a big way. It's a partner piece to the Mozart, in fact. It's by... a lady, an Australian Russian. Her name is Elena Katschernin. And if you know that famous advert, Lloyd's Bank advert, I don't sing it because I'm too embarrassed, because with the soprano up high, with the train going through the clouds, it's a part of a ballet score. And Lloyd's Bank heard it. And now, I remember Elena from 12 years ago, the National Tour, we played a piece of hers around Australia on tour. And she was, you know, a composer writing real in-your-face stuff, heavy-duty bang stuff, modern contemporary music. And she found she really wasn't... It wasn't going anywhere for her. So she decided to change her style completely.
Hmm.
And she's writing more popular stuff and with a lot of success. So she wrote... a Bassett clarinet concerto, partner of the Mozart, same scoring as the Mozart, and it's called Ornamental Airs. It's brilliant. It's one of the best pieces I've ever played in the entire repertoire.
Uh-huh.
And I love it. I mean, not only is it just a technical challenge, but it's so beautiful. It's a lot of fun. So I hope audiences over here will have a chance to hear it one day.
I'm sure they will, especially if Michael Collins has anything to do with it. You can hear Michael on more familiar ground with the Mozart Clarinet Concerto at Symphony Hall in Birmingham on the 2nd of October and on the 3rd in Malvern at the Malvern Theatres. The CBSO conducted that time by Zhen Zhang. Details, as ever, on the CBSO website, www.cbso.co.uk.